All right, so if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke. Slightly different for today. Again, normally we're going through 1 Corinthians on Sundays. We're just pausing on that. We'll get back on track, God willing, soon. But go to Luke. Go to Luke chapter 10. And if you've been here in this church for any amount of time, you probably heard me mentioning, referring to this. I looked at my notes. It's been a while for us to go through this. This is something that God's always convicting my heart for. And I think maybe he's wanting to speak to someone here. This is that Mary versus Martha passage. Who here knows this one? Luke chapter 10, verse 38 to 42. Some of you guys have a funny smile on that one. You're like me. God convicts your heart for that. Praise God for that. So today at the end of service, because we're going to be going through communion, I'm targeting about 12 o'clock that we'll end this time, trying to connect it also with Children's Church so they can partake as well. But Luke chapter 10, we're going to start from verse 38. Please stand with me if you're able to. We're going to read from verse 38, Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her, 'Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things.'" Verse 42, "But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her." Father in heaven, we ask for you to please open up our understanding of your word, Lord. Oh, I believe this passage speaks to each and every one of us. We all suffer, Lord. We all have these things with our flesh and all the needs, all the things that are crying out in this world, in our families, in our jobs. Things are crying out for our attention. But we love the fact of that clarion call of your spirit. We desire to hear your still small voice. And we know that we need to be like this picture where you show us of Mary, staying at your feet, endeavoring to hear your voice. So, Father, oh, prepare our hearts. Help us. And, Father, I also pray that you would prove yet again that you are the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort. Comfort the hearts that are here. Speak to that person or those people that you're desiring to draw in. Those that you are wanting to speak to today, because this is exactly what you're trying to tell them. Help us to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Minister to us, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. You guys can have a seat if you would. So, as you guys know, we shared with you guys, Susan and I just got back from the California Calvary Chapel Association West Coast Worship Conference. And so I'm still a little woozy-headed. Forgive me for that. But we had a time where we went, and it was such a glorious time. I got to take my bride, Susan, to see some of the places that were near and dear to my heart. And even our kids didn't get a chance to see. Not yet, at least. And I'm going to show you one of the places in just a bit. But I believe the Lord was wanting me to come back to a place of worship. Worship. Now, there's musical worship. That's one type, one way. But really, to be like the picture we're going to see here in the scriptures, described as Mary, like being at the feet of Jesus, I need to be that. I believe that God's trying to speak to some of you too. Because I know the way that he often works, not all the time, but often works, where he's got to get my heart, the pastor's heart, going in a certain direction so that I would hear from him. Because I'm just an under-shepherd under Jesus, the good shepherd. He's your shepherd, amen? He's truly, as we might say, the senior pastor of the church. I'm just an earthly representative, an under-shepherd. And he's wanting to speak to you. He's wanting to reveal to you. What that is, I don't know. But the principles will be found within the Word, and they'll be greatly illustrated here. I believe he's wanting to speak. I just take a step by faith to say he's wanting to speak to a whole bunch of you. I know this greatly grips my heart. But he's been wanting me to come back to that place of being more involved in things like the music ministry and even songwriting. I was even struggling over going to the conference again. I'm thinking, Lord, I don't have time. And, you know, we all have those excuses, right? They're always like time and money. And yet the call of God will keep convicting the heart. So as I've been sharing, and for those of you that have been with us for a while, this is something as a topic I've been sharing for probably the last 3 years or so. I know my wife, Susan, I'll just like dump it on her. Like, you got to pray for me, babe, because it's getting really convicted. I don't have time. But I believe the Lord's wanting me to get more into songwriting. And as the one that's her husband, I also need to help lead her into that place. So pray for her as well. Because I believe that the Lord's wanting her to express more through the creative arts, especially worship songwriting. You guys know some of the songs that she's been writing. So please keep us in prayer for that. I think he's wanting for myself and then subsequently also you guys. Really, that's a target. And pray for me as I pray for you guys, because I look at your guys' eyes and hear your testimonies and hear what you guys are going through, your prayer requests, and I realize these are things that I believe God's trying to target for your hearts. And he's got to get me to go there. I don't pray and ask for these things. I just want to be obedient, to hear from him, and then to simply, after discovering, doing. That's the challenging part. Amen? It's not hard to hear from God, because we all have our Bibles. But what's more challenging is being a doer of the word. Amen? Right? Like James writes. So I think he's wanting me to be a doer of the word, specifically in some of these areas, especially of being a worshiper. I'm going to show you one of the places where I got to take my bride Susan. This is just a couple days ago. This was Wednesday, August 7th. Before we even checked in to the place where we were staying, we had some time driving around, got a car. I'm like, okay, I want to take you to this. But I've been wanting to take her. This is Dana Point Harbor. I don't know if any of you guys have ever been there. A beautiful place, very beautifully blessed place. I love the water. Oh, love the ocean. Who here loves the ocean? He does, right? Not you. So we all love water. Some like lakes and rivers. Some like the ocean. I love the ocean. Well, this is a place very special and near and dear to my heart. And I want to share with you guys a little bit to include you on the journey that God's got me going through. This was a place for me of a lot of personal crying. Good cries. Good tears. Not like, oh, Lord, my life's so messed up. I repent. I want to come back to you. That's a good cry, too. But different kind of cry. This was a place where I went to with the Lord when I was just hashing out things. And here's how it was 22-ish years ago. Lord, New York? Are you sure? You know, can anything good come out of New York? I now see it, but New York wouldn't have been my choice. It definitely wasn't. I always thought God was going to send me somewhere else in California. My romanticized picture of what I thought God was going to do to send me out for some kind of church work was like a Thomas Kincaid painting, The Painter of Light. You guys ever see his paintings? Who here has seen them? Beautiful paintings, like a little cottage, little brook going by, totally green grass. I imagine just walking around in the community with my Bible. Seeing a grandpa out there on the porch, walking up to grandma and grandpa. Hey, can I talk to you about Jesus? You know, I love that thought because why? You know, there's a call of God and the call of man. For me, I'm like, oh, I can go fishing. I can hang out. That's me. There's a lot of rich oxygen. Oh, I love that type of environment. And I'm like, New York City? So after 9/11 happened, he brought me out here, and then he started breaking my heart, not for the place, but the people. I was in Manhattan. If you could imagine somewhere like lazy Southern California where there's a lot of surfers by the beach, going from there, which is, I was prepped by some pastors. Look, when you go to New York City, it's like a cross-cultural mission. I'm like, okay, kind of grasped that a little bit. But I got out here and I realized, wow, New Yorkers are so very different. When they say, how you doing, they don't want to know how you doing. It's just their form of hello. Very different culture. Hard to meet people, right? Hard to connect. That's why I love what God's done in the agape love that he's brought here. Just the fellowship that he's brought. Sweet. Super, super sweet. Great place to find friends. But when he brought me out here, he was breaking my heart. And I remember the early days. Now, we're talking shortly after 9/11. Before I landed out here, I remember being in prayer after that Tuesday morning when 9/11 happened, when the country was attacked. You guys probably remember where you were. I remember going to the sanctuary at the church where I was at. I was on staff at the Bible College. The church was Calvary Chapel, Rancho Santa Margarita. That's one of those cities where you could, Rancho Santa Margarita, like some of the online forms that wouldn't fit because the name was like the biggest name, I think, for a city in California. But that's where I was. And I remember going to the sanctuary and praying, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're kind of all involved here. And he was breaking my heart. And one thing I think he was whispering to me, give Bill your availability. And this is 2001. And that meant there's Pastor Bill Aegis. He was the director of the missions group that's called Safe Harbor International Relief. We did a lot of relief work. So I ran in that room. Safe Harbor room in the back of the church building. Hey, Bill, are we going to go? I don't know. I'm trying to get a hold of the pastor. I think the senior pastor of the church was on vacation in the mountains somewhere. They couldn't get a hold of him. I just went in just like, okay, well, I'm here to tell you I'm available to go. Give me the papers. When I first worked for the church, my first position was to work for Safe Harbor. And we had these papers, like you sign away your life, that we would send people to South Sudan. If you can get captured, you can get killed. I mean, you're signing that kind of a paper. And I just knew, okay, give me the papers, I'm going to sign. I just had to be obedient. And I don't know about you guys, but God trained me. I'm still challenged with these things at times. But he's trained me that if he's going to say something, I just got to do it. Because I know the longer I wait, the more I'm going to give excuses. Anybody else like that? Okay, some of us are like that. I'm like, okay, I got to do this. You're saying, I got to be available. I didn't know what it meant. And then I started brewing over the thought as the days went on. Be prepared. It's going to be a long-term mission. Now, this was 2001. I don't know what you call it. I asked some of my friends that are missionaries, like, what do you call it when you go to a place and you've been there for a couple of decades? Like, are you, technically I'm a missionary here, but what does that change into? You meet and marry a local and you have kids and God does plant the church and like, what do you call it now? I don't know. But I see that he's stirring within my heart. I see that, yes, it truly was a long-term mission. And I'm not going anywhere unless the Lord calls me. He can call me home. That's up to him. He's going to have to talk to my wife, too, about that. But he's got me here. And I want to share some of these things with you because I think he's wanting me to get back to that place. This is the place at Dana Point Harbor where I spent a lot of time praying. I would hash things out with God. Beautiful place. If you ever get a chance to go, there's this area. That's the jetty that protects the boats in Dana Point Harbor. It's a beautiful place. It's one of those places I can imagine. If you took a picture of it, like on a postcard, wish you were here kind of a thing, and you send it to someone, beautiful place. That's how it looks. Very blessed place. The water is nice and clean. So you can't see in the picture, but you get it closer. It's clean and clear, pretty much. Beautifully blessed place. And I would go out there to be alone with the Lord. Cry a lot of good cries. Lord, is this what you want for me? And he helped solidify in my heart. Lord, are you sure you want me to go to New York? Because this was like, for me at that time, I didn't have money. It was a do or die kind of thing. Like, okay, my life's expendable. Jesus gave his life for me, and I need to live my life for him. He's Lord. And when he brings you to that place, where you either got to obey, and then you're in the will of God, or you feel like how I was, well, if I disobey, I feel like I'm in sin. Because I knew. He taught me and trained me how to hear from him, and I just had to obey. And that's a place where I went to hash things out with the Lord. I wanted to take my bride Susan there. We spent some time, we prayed, took some photos. I'm like, oh. The last time I was there was so long ago. I think it was before I had an iPhone even, so I don't even know if I took photos really. but just a good memory. I want to share that with you guys. Because this is the place where seeing you guys now and seeing your faces and seeing who's come in and who's come and gone through, and the place like the Rockaways where we were ministering to hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people throughout these past, you know, 2 decades or so God's had us here. I didn't see anybody's faces. I just knew God was breaking my heart. But he's breaking my heart for you guys. For you. He was the one that wanted a church plant out here, a Bible teaching church. Now I know, after coming here subsequently, very hard to find in New York City, a church that would teach the Bible, the entire Bible, without man-made doctrine, God willing. Very hard to find. I didn't know what that meant, though, in Southern California, because in Southern California, there's a lot of good Bible teachers. There's a lot. But out here, there's a famine for God's Word, where we should be feasting on His Word. Amen? And I believe the Lord's wanting me to take a journey with them to a place of, I can say a place of worship, but to remain there. To be like this picture. Let's look at this again in Luke 10. We're going to slowly go through this. If I do have to say, and I'll apologize ahead of time, you could hate me if you want right now because of my love for Jesus. I love you guys, but I love Jesus more. And I need to obey. So it doesn't matter to me if someone hates me. So I'm just like, oh, I'm going to grab my Bible and run. That's okay. But we're going to go through this. I think I need to go through this slowly because I feel like I've been kind of like that disobedient, rebellious child. Still wanting to serve him, but feeling at times more like a Martha, if you know what I mean. I need to obey. And I think he's trying to get me to this place and to remain there because someone here needs that. And I believe that's a whole bunch of you guys today. I'll just take that step of faith to believe that. That he wants me to develop a lifestyle of worship. Because it's ultimately, I believe, that he's wanting to get to you. And if I'm not going there, and if I let the head get in the way of the heart, if you know what I mean, I could be so analytical. All the Calvary Chapel senior pastors I know are very analytical. And we have to be. Because you look at and dissect the word. And we don't want to sway to the left or to the right like he told Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. We need to study to show ourselves approved. A workman that needs not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. So we're very analytical, but sometimes the head gets in the way of the heart. And that's kind of where I'm at. And I believe the Lord is wanting to speak to someone here. So as previously announced, I'm going to be focusing a little more on worship. On worship. And I want us to look at this. So for myself, as the Lord had me journey into worship, let me just quickly tell you, because some of you guys don't know my story, and I'm not going to explain the whole thing in detail. When I was a kid, some of you parents might want to have your kids involved in music. So any of you parents? Yeah, a lot of us do, right? My mom had some weird thought where she thought an accordion was going to be this kid's favorite instrument. I'm like, you know, that's a time of heavy metal. My friends are, I didn't get into that kind of stuff. My friends are like, come on, the bass guitar, drums, anything. What, the accordion? You know, later on you hear of like Weird Al Yankovic. Anything he's playing, it's like, no. But nonetheless, I credit God using my mom to give me a love for music. So I learned how to read music. She's like, okay, you don't like it, but stick with it. Ding, 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 ding. I picture like a monkey going, you know, like the cartoons. But she says, stick with it. When you get to be, you know, this certain age, then you can say. So on my birthday at that age, do you want to still do recording? No, definitely not. And then when I got older, the instrument I chose was actually the turntable. So I got to be a DJ. I was one of those guys, you know, scratch, mix, do cuts. I love that. So I threw myself into it. But the one that God used to give me a love for music was my mom. Yes, it started with accordion. But when it became time where I could choose, it was the turntable. I did that for years. And I got, at least around that sphere of influence, got to be good. Got to be okay. And I threw myself into that. And then the Lord had me follow him. He saved me. It took some time, probably like many of you, to get rid of stuff. For many of us, I know the story. Depending on what your age is, you come to Christ and he's like, get rid of your CD collection, right? Is that any of you guys? Kids nowadays, like, it's MP3s. They're like, what are CDs? But for me as a DJ, it's get rid of your records. I had thousands of records. Tons of them. I'm like, okay. And after a while, you're like, you know what? This stuff is garbage. It's going to burn anyways. So I remember giving it away. And in the 1990s, something happened with me. Spending time with the Lord, he gave me this harebrained idea. I believe it was him speaking to me. I want you to get a guitar. I never wanted to play guitar. Never, never, never. It's crazy. So I went to this place. I think it was called Mission Music in Mission Viejo. I grabbed a spruce guitar. And I was just obedient. I went and grabbed it. I think I had this little booklet on how to, you know, maybe chords, basic stuff. And I remember bringing it to my apartment. I lived in Rancho Santa Margarita at the time. I plopped down at the table in a chair, and just like that, just like obeyed and went to go do it, which is crazy too, because I remember thinking, just for explicit, like, wait a second, I don't have enough money to pay rent, but I had to be obedient. I knew how to hear from God. I knew it was him telling me. So I went and got it. I got home. I sat down. I'm like, I don't know how to play. It didn't come first. You know, some people are really smart. I'm just not wired that way, I guess, in some things. I sat down. I remember the thought, Lord, if you could teach David how to worship, and he had some kind of harp, you could teach me. And so crying out to God. I knew a lot of guys that were worshipers and pastors. Asked them, and nobody wanted to teach me. I'm like, oh, I was real frustrated. I said, can you teach me just what is a chord? How do you hold your hand? How do you do this without getting your wrist all messed up? If any of you ever tried to play guitar, you know, it can hurt. It hurts the fingers, right? Especially the bottom string, you slide like, ow, it cuts right in. And I remember nobody really wanting to help. And I'm glad. Not that I want to do everything my way. Now, this is before YouTube. You can kind of YouTube anything, right, nowadays? Before YouTube. But I just struggled with it with God. And I believe that he was telling me, this is what I want you to do. So I was just obedient. And then crying out to him, praying to him, struggling through it, seeing like the dots on the you know, diagram. Okay, here's how you do it. And someone's showing me later on, no, that's, you're doing it wrong. Oh, okay. Holding a C chord and how that hurts. But God taught me. And later on, I did not know. You see, when you obey him today, you never know what he's going to open up for tomorrow, right? And some of you guys know our story. Subsequently, after moving here, then when he had me here, I came out with my Bible, I had my guitar, I had a calling, I had my faith. I didn't really have much money. So I did a lot of worship. And I loved it. Being out here in a one-car garage in Middle Village, he was training me how to worship him. I wasn't very good. I'm glad in that little garage apartment, no one was really hearing me. I'm sure my wife would be able to tell me. It's like, oh, you're off key. It's like, I didn't care. Just crying out. Just sweet tears to the Lord. Lord, you got me here. I don't know anybody. And I try to meet neighbors around. You know how hard it is to talk to someone about Jesus, right? But you have me here. So I did a lot of worship. It was so much that when a friend moved out also, he's like, dude, we're doing too much worship. I'm like, I looked at him like, can you do too much worship? Like, feel like, get thee behind me, Satan. I didn't say that, but you kind of feel like, how can you do too much? But that was just a place where the Lord had me. And out of that time, I remember hearing from, if you guys know that song, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, by Rick Founds. I remember reading, it was like a blog post or some kind of article he wrote, that what he would do in his devotional times, time spent with God, he would grab his guitar and just sing through the scriptures. I'm like, I needed some kind of refreshing for my time spent, my devotional time with the Lord. I could do that. So I grabbed my guitar, start singing stuff. And I was going through Revelation at the time. And I, keep in mind, I didn't know any of you guys during this time. And as I was playing through like Revelation 4 and 5, just seeing the throne room of God, just being in sweet fellowship with the Lord, nobody else around, just me and my guitar on this short ceiling. It was like I could palm the ceiling. That's how short. How short the ceiling was. Very small room. And I started hearing a melody. And that's where he had me write that song that we do, You Are Holy. It came out of the scriptures. And I'm like, wow, that's great. I didn't even know how to write a song. I mean, that's just how weird it is. I tell you guys, we just went to the songwriting workshop. Sat in like three workshops. I'm still thinking, I still don't even technically know how to write a song, but we're doing it. I never asked for it. But what I'm saying is sometimes when you're obeying God for today, you take this step that sounds illogical and you're just obeying Him, He opens up the door for something else. So He had me write this song. It was from Revelation and one of the other scriptures. And later on, some of you guys know the story, when God brought Susan in here. And He connected us. It was through music. Now keep in mind, I didn't know Susan, obviously, and I didn't know what she was going through in her background. I didn't know she went through child sexual abuse. And I didn't know that when she couldn't talk to anybody, even her dad and her mom, or the teacher, and of course, in school that molested her. She told me it was like for years she went through that. Like, ah, so horrible. But God not only saved her during that time, He was drawing her near. And there was a certain psalm that really spoke to her heart. I didn't know till later on that it was actually the same psalm that God used to have me write that song, You Are Holy. And when I was, some of you guys in the early days, you heard me singing it. I'm like, I praise God. You guys had a lot of grace with me. I didn't know that God meant for her to be the voice behind that. And as He delivered her, saved her, and cleansed and was healing her heart, that He would have us connect with the scriptures, even the same scripture that He used, one of them, to write that song. And He started this journey for me. Some of you guys know our testimony and our story, that when she came in, she was like really shy. Pastor phobia or something. Like, she wouldn't even look me in the eye. It's kind of funny. But I remember writing a song, we do that at times here, called Jesus My Life. And I couldn't finish it. And I always heard it, you know, if you get stuck with something, just hand it off to someone else. So I threw it over to her. Said, yeah, let's see if you could do something with this song. And she finished it. And I just was struggling with it. Now I know why. It's because God wouldn't allow me to. And that she would be the one to complete it, as well as sing it. And then she finished it. I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, that's pretty good. And it's as if the Lord would whisper to my heart, see what I could do with you both together. And that began the journey of God bringing her and I together. He confirmed things greatly in Scripture. So what I'm saying is, as God is leading us, and I think He's still leading me through the Scriptures here, I'm going to share with you here in Luke 10, 38 to 42. We're going to slowly go through this, God willing, throughout the weeks. But I do want to say, if God's leading you to do something, to take a step of faith, just obey Him. When I did that, I had a house that He had me sell, and then He had me give away the money. A job that I had in Orange County, California, the largest employer, He had me leave that job. Many things. He had me move out here, grab a guitar. I didn't know that all these things were these huge steps to then eventually meet you all. So you never know what God's going to do. So just obey Him. So I want to talk to you a little bit today, and we're going to keep this brief here, that's what I'm hoping for, about sitting at the feet of Jesus, that even as He's having me get to that place and stay, and that's my struggle, I think for all of us, to remain at His feet, so to speak, amen, that He's brought some beautiful songs out. They're not me. I don't ask for it. It just flows. So I want to, I remember learning from Bob Hoekstra, you see the fruitfulness, the spiritual fruitfulness, follow the fruit. Because that's a sign of what God is doing, not maybe just speaking to you, but through you. He's wanting you to see the fruitfulness. So again, look at this in verse 38 and 39. Jesus goes to this place. These are the sisters of Lazarus. Martha welcomed Him into her house. And notice verse 39. I'm going to park it here for a little bit. And I'm going to try to keep it brief because we're going to do communion here, and the kids will come in a little bit. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary. This is your picture, church. Mary becomes a picture of worship. Who also, notice it says, sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. So talking about sitting at the feet of Jesus, this isn't just a New Testament thing. I'm going to show you here, back in Deuteronomy, before Moses died, he blessed the children of Israel. And this is what he said in Deuteronomy 33, verse 3. Yes, he loves the people. All his saints are in your hand. They sit down at your feet. Everyone receives your words. What is that? They sit down at your feet. He's been used by God. This is Old Testament time. During the time of Torah, Moses was still alive. Being used by the Lord to depict something that Mary would illustrate, as well as you and I. That we would sit down at the feet of the Lord, receiving his words. Receiving his words. This is something I need to do. So Mary sitting at the feet of Jesus, it's a picture of worship. I think we pretty much all know that. Worship. He is worthy. It's an old English term. Worth-ship. W-O-R-T-H. He is the one that's worth, that's worthy to worship, to give you, for you to give praise, honor, and glory to. So let the Spirit of God convict your heart like he's been convicting mine. That we have so many other things that we want to give praise, honor, and glory to. Right? It could be politics. It could be your job, your education. It could be your boss at work. But no, no, no. According to God, from his eternal perspective, God is the only one that's worthy to receive your worship, your heart's adoration. For I love my husband. I love my wife. Oh, who created them? And by the way, for our marriages, they're only temporary, aren't they? In eternity, you're not going to sit there as being part of the church, the one wife of Jesus, the bride of Christ. You're not going to say, hey, but I was married to that one. It ain't going to matter, is it? So these are just like practice for eternity, for all the married couples. It's just practice. And we're to depict the eternal marriage. Amen? It's a picture of Christ and the church. In Revelation 4, turn there if you will. We got a little more time. Again, we're going to end here in a bit, though. Revelation is the last book of the Bible. This is the passage that the Lord convicted my heart to share. And there's so many songs, like that beautiful song, Revelation song. If you heard the Chris Tomlin song about these songs about casting our crowns, sitting at the feet of Jesus. Notice this, Revelation 4, verse 9. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders, notice it says, fall down before him. We believe, upon analysis of this scripture, these 24 elders cannot be angels. They cannot be. They're not depicted as such in scripture. So these are people. Fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever and cast their crowns. You probably heard of that group, Casting Crowns. This is scripture where they get that from. Cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord. This is worship. Declaring him as the one that's worthy. Not me, not any of us. To receive glory and honor and power. Why? Notice, you, for you created all things. He's your creator. In that song that we wrote, you are holy. You created all I see. You created me to worship you. Do you know that you're created to worship? A lot of us don't figure that out. There's a lot of Christians. A lot of us Christians don't figure that out. You were created to worship. So the person that says, oh, I don't have a God, you're a liar because you are your own God. Oh, I don't worship. Yeah, you do. Everybody worships someone or something. So the person that says they don't have a God, who do they worship? They're worshiping themselves, and they don't even know it. That's one and the same as worshiping Satan. And Satan's like, gotcha. That's what he wants to do. So you and I were created to worship. God desires that you would choose out of love to worship him. Why? He's the one that's worthy. 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him. Who lives forever and ever. And notice, cast their crowns before the throne saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Do you know that, yes, not only you were created by God, but the fact that you exist right now is because of the will of God. You were not a mistake. You were not an accident. Oh, but my mom and dad says I was an accident. No, you were created on purpose to live for God's purposes, not self. I need to preach that. We need to. You need to know that. And as we look at in this church, Ephesians 2, verse 10, you were created in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. That's why he saved you. You've got a calling with God. Discover and do that. By your will, they exist and were created. So sitting at the feet of Jesus, here's some of the benefits, like we see with Mary. Let's go back to Luke chapter 10. We're going to close here in a little bit, and we'll partake of communion in just a moment. She sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Today's kind of a light overview. Those of you that have been part of this church for some time, you know I love going in depth here. And we'll take this one bit, one chunk at a time, God willing. But you need to hear from him. Notice she sat at Jesus' feet. Why? To tell her prayer requests? No. To exercise her two ears. I missed having one mouth like you and me. I remember hearing someone say, yeah, maybe God gave us two ears and one mouth so we would listen twice as much. Actually, it's the other way around. It's that I would listen only and totally and fully to him. Because does he even know what your prayer requests are before you say it? Yes. He knew it before he created anything. Any of these planets, any of the angels. He knew what your prayer requests right now will be and into eternity. God cannot learn. You still should come to him with your burdens. But it's not like, listen, God, I got to educate you. Don't you see how tough my life is? No, he already knows. But he wants you to give him your burdens. You'll be able to hear from the Lord if you sit at his feet. And you need to hear this too. You're going to get correction, not just direction. And technically, a lot of times, doctrinally, we need to have the correction first, right? Many times we don't want that though. We don't want to be his disciple. I just want direction. He's like, look, before I direct you, I got to correct you, right? Thy word is a lamp to my feet. You read and study the word of God, the spirit of God that wrote the scripture is going to use the sword of the spirit, his weapon of choice, to show you first. Thy word is a lamp to my feet, second, and a light to my path. A lot of times we come to God, we only want the light to path. Show me, Lord, there's two ways, two paths to go. Show me which one you choose. And he's like, repent first. No, just speak to me, then I'll repent. It's like, repent, and then I'll show you. And many times we don't want to do that. That's why many Christians, they never grow. They never mature. So sad. We want to hear from him, but be open for his correction. So Jesus said in John chapter 10, my sheep hear my voice. You need to learn to detect the voice of Jesus, your good shepherd. If you're in Revelation 4, Revelation 3, the last church, some, including me, believe that this could be sort of an illustration of the last church era, the era that we live in, Laodicea. That's the church that doesn't want to hear from Jesus. They're singing and shouting, shout to the Lord. Jesus is like, behold, I stand at the door and knock. You hear that in evangelism, don't you? Who here has heard that in evangelism? That's actually taken out of context because Jesus is speaking to Christians. He's not trying to evangelize them. He says, look at this, Revelation 3, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. So evangelists will use it. You could use it as a principle. He's knocking the door of your heart, but that's out of context. It's not the way that the sword of the Spirit is to be used by the Holy Spirit who wrote this. You know what it is? Jesus is wanting to come into your life, Christian, not a unsaved person, a Christian. He wants to have intimacy and fellowship with his people. Are you going to allow him to? The first step is you got to hear his voice. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, it's predicated upon first hearing his voice. And then what? We hear his voice and run sometimes. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him and he with me. You know what this speaks of? Intimacy, fellowship. Do you know that Jesus didn't just save you from the fires of hell and give you entrance into heaven? He wants to have fellowship with you. But we're so busy in this Laodicean church era today, these last days type of church environment, that many of us, we want to hear from him, but we won't give him the time of day. Unless I really have a strong prayer request, and then I'll obey. Or until my life just gets destroyed because of my sinful choices, and then I'll come back to him. But let's come back to him before we destroy our lives. Amen? Let's just obey. Again, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me. He had John write this to a church, Laodicea. This was not to non-believers. This is not to be used in evangelism. When it's used in evangelism, it's like an instrument out of tune. It's like it's not used properly. So if you use it properly, here's what Jesus is saying to you and me. I want you to open the door to have intimate relationship, fellowship with you. He realizes that many of us are scared. But if I hear from you, you're going to send me as a missionary. You're going to have me sell everything. If that's your calling, then obey him. For me, that was my calling. But that's probably not your calling. You and I are called, though, to his feet, to that place. So some of the benefits, you're going to hear from God by sitting at his feet. You're going to fellowship with God. That's why you guys are here. True fellowship is we walk in the light as he is in the light and have fellowship with one another. That's vertical. That's not horizontal, having fellowship with other people. I need to come into that space of grace where I'm having fellowship with the Lord, come out of the darkness, so confess and repent away from that sin, walk in his glorious, beautiful, pure, holy light. And if I walk in that light, now I can have fellowship with him. The blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses me. And I invite others into that place. That's more true church fellowship, where we can spend time with the Lord. And yes, we can sing about the Lord, right? But theologically, he's already here. And if you're born again, he's living within you. And that place where we're fellowshipping with him and happen to fellowship with one another, oh man, that's where the power of God, like living water, can flow through us. And I want to see that. I believe you want to see that too. Is that any of you? Allow him to flow through your heart and life. So we can go on and on. What comes out of sitting at the feet of Jesus? Tons of spiritual blessings. More of his love. More of his joy. That's your strength. More of his peace that passes understanding, that'll guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Jesus said, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives. So there's a worldly kind of peace. He wants to give you peace. Maybe as you pray to him, the storms you're going through won't go away. And if you find that out, but he'll be with you through the storm, right? Why? Because he wants to show you that he's greater than the storm. As people check out your life, they're freaking out because they're going through that same storm. But you're just rowing away. What's wrong with you? Ah, Jesus gives me peace. Now I can handle it. That's what he wants to do. So it's required, if you want to sit at the feet of Jesus, to develop a life of humility. We're kind of going over our time I wanted to spend. So can we set up for a time of worship? Yes. See my wife back there. We're just going to go ahead and close. We're going to have a time of worship. And as we have a time of worship, I do want to say that if anybody wants prayer, that maybe you need to get back to that place. I know myself. I need to remain there. My challenge is, oh, but I got to work tomorrow. But I got to, you know, all these things swirling around in our heads. And Jesus, he's such a gentleman, isn't he? I imagine him. That God's such a loving, gracious gentleman as if he would say to me, Drew, I've been waiting for you for years. That's okay. I'll wait another 10 years. He can't force himself into your life. Now, he can mess with your will like he did with Jonah, but you still have to choose, don't you? We love him. Why? Because he loved us first. You have to choose. And we'll get into even the intricacy of the original Greek language, how Mary had to force herself to choose. Just like when you get up tomorrow, spending time with the Lord. Hopefully you do. You have to choose, don't you? You had to choose to come in here. Same thing for us. It's like, I'm tired. My head's kind of swirling. But Lord, Jesus, you are Lord. And there are people here that need you. So we need to focus on him. So I'm going to close this with a word of prayer. And if you want prayer, before we partake of communion, the folks that are over, if they want to come in, they can come in too. Yeah. But if any of you want prayer, I'm going to, before we partake of communion, let's, you know, make things right with the Lord. I'm not sure where everybody's at, but if anybody wants prayer, that you'd be like Mary at his feet, sitting at Jesus' feet, hearing his word. We'll get into this and we'll start unpacking this more and more. So today's kind of a light overview of this. Please keep coming in on Sundays if you can. But if you want prayer for that, then I'm going to simply ask you to stand and come forward. I want to pray for you, and we'll partake of communion right after that. So, Father in heaven, we thank you for this time. Lord, we ask that you would please, Lord, please continue to graciously, lovingly convict us. Lord, I thank you that your conviction is not like a condemnation. You're not pushing us away. You're trying to draw us near. But sometimes our sin, our pride, our arrogance, all the filth of the world, all of our goals, all those things, they're nothing, God. They're just going to burn. All the things that we're trying to work hard for, trying to store up our treasures here on earth. None of us know if we're going to pass this month. Tomorrow's not promised to any of us, God. And we don't want to be like the foolish man that wanted to build up a bigger barn to store more stuff. You told him, you called him a fool. It was foolish. So help us, Lord. Help us to develop that heart of being a worshiper. Thank you for that picture here of Mary. Lord, I know that doesn't speak just to the ladies. It speaks also to us guys. We need to remain at your feet. That we'd receive your blessings. That you would heal us. We need to confess our sins. And you say if we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God, we know that we have so many things to be cleansed from. Even the sin of self and our selfishness, God. So please have your way. Help us to recognize that we have a spiritual thirst. You said, if anyone thirsts, to come to you and drink. We need to partake. We need to come to you. You say, those that believe in you, as the scriptures has said, that out of our heart will flow rivers of living water. Oh, Lord. It's your spirit flowing upon, into, and through us. So baptize us afresh here. Empower us here. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.